Testing, 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 testing. I think that's the school at the Hoover Camp.
At the Hoover Camp.
That, and this is Hoover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was that in the Page County?
I don't know whether that was in Page County or not. No, that was down in Dark Hollow over there, and I think that was, I don't know whether that was in Page County or not. No, they came up here, and a whole lot of people came up here, and they felt so sorry for these mountain people. And I don't know where that is. Do you know where that is?
I think that was in. He said this was the Corbin Mountain School,
Corbin
down
Mountain
the
School.
Bottom of Corbin Hollow. This was taken in 1934.
See, I came here in 36.
36.
I came here in 36, yes, ma'am. They must be some of the Corbins on there, I met.
I think this woman is Bill Corbin, and I don't know who the rest of the people are. They only had her listed.
I know we used to go up on the mountain and stay before the park came through there. And Lord, when you went up over those roads, why, people were so anxious to see you, you know, and they wondered who you were. And they'd come out, and sometimes, I don't know, you'd see 8 or 10 come out of those little houses up there.
Thank you.
And my grandfather, he built this, well, he had something to do with building the New Market Gordonville Turnpike.
Oh, really?
The one across the mountain.
My goodness, well, you're really...
My grandfather did.
Well, your wife said that you were born near Stanley, is that right?
Yeah, I was born close to Stanley, yeah. That's where I've been working today, I don't know. We sold this place, and we have to get out for the 1st of July.
Oh, dear. Could I take your new address in case I want to write to you again, or
well,
talk with you or something?
I'll be here. If you just write me here, I'll get it, I don't know.
But, the thing I'm particularly interested in is that the influence the school teachers had on the mountain community. Do you think that, first of all, were the school teachers usually local, you know, the ones that were in the mountain?
Well, I wouldn't say that they were, no, because most of them were from away. And, I don't know, they went up and they lived in those places. They lived in places at that time why you didn't have any kind of accommodations. Well, in fact, I'd like to have now. You pick up at Tanner's Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
We had a girl coming here from down towards Richmond someplace. And she wasn't used to the conditions and everything like that.
It's
and
a
bit. Like she had to leave, but she stayed up there and she made a good teacher. And we released her at the end of the year, I think, or just before the end of the year. She got another place to pay her considerably more money. And I don't know where I was going now. I was going someplace. I was going away. And she wanted us to release her before Christmas. Well, I was leaving just about the time the holiday started. And I said, we will. I don't know whether we can release her before Christmas, but if you'll give me just a little while after Christmas, enough to get a teacher, well, we will release you then. Because I never wanted to stand in the way of anybody's progress or anything like that, financially or otherwise. But I often wondered why some of those girls coming from towns and everything like that, now you don't run across those things up there because those people, if I may say it, I don't know, I don't say it in a derogatory nature or anything like that, they have become much more enlightened and I wouldn't use the word civilized because they were civilized before, but they have become much more used to outside influences, you see, and everything like that. Didn't work on that.
How did they usually react to the school teacher? I mean, how do people feel about education, do you think?
Well, most of the people up there, I don't know, they reacted very favorable and they were very friendly towards them. They would give school teachers just the best that they had. Of course, the best they had wasn't very much. It was probably pork and beans or something like that, cabbage, kraut that they made, you know, they'd grown the cabbage during the summer. Some of them would have hogs. A few of them would be wild almost. They'd turn them out and the hogs would eat the acorns, you know, and they'd kill them around about the butchering time and everything like that. Some of them would, some of them didn't have any hogs.
Well, did they pay the school teacher then, not the school board?
No, the school board paid the school teacher.
But they just gave them like presents?
They just give them anything. Or give them other than the necessities of life. Now, my father was superintendent here before I was.
Oh, really?
And he used to ride a horse and go around and visit all the schools. One time we had about 120 schools in the county. Well, when I took over in 1936, we had 36 schools, I think. See, they'd been, the outlying schools had been done away with.
Did they consolidate them?
Yeah, they consolidated it, tried to get them away. And that had a good influence upon those people, coming in contact with others, you might say, not in the mountainous regions and everything like that. But I don't know if you, you probably haven't gone into that, because we put on a testing program here at the time I was doing graduate work over at the University of Virginia, and that was my thesis. And they had a whole lot of these boys over there that were in school, and they could do anything they wanted them to, and there were around about 10 or 15 of us came over here two different days and gave a test to the different schools. And one thing we found out is there's a little school up here at Rattleboro, no, not it was, no, no, that was Rattleboro, no, it wasn't Rattleboro, it was some other school up there. But we found the kids in the seventh grade up there did better than the kids in the consolidated school.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Well, you had to go back, and a test by itself is no good,
no,
unless you
true.
Make a study of it or something like that. But here's what we found out there, that those kids, they didn't want to come out to school outside of their own ballot rank, you might say, or the neighborhood. And rather than to come out, and they dressed different, they talked different, and everything like that, and they didn't feel at home coming out. And they would rather stay in those schools and repeat for probably the fifth grade or the sixth grade or something like that. And see, when they did that two or three years, why, they knew the fifth grade got it better than, that was the conclusion that we came to. And
well,
that was the only conclusion that we could draw or anything like that. They'd had to work over and over several times, you see, and they were more familiar with it.
Well, when they came out to the consolidated schools, they didn't sleep at the schools, did they?
Oh, no,
They
no.
just came by school bus
they
or walk?
They came by school bus, yes. Yeah.
Well, when the schools, when they were in their little small schools, did they were usually in the hollows, were they, or on top of the mountains, or?
Well, we, do you know where Tanner's Ridge is?
Yes.
Well, we had a school up there for a long time in the church, in the mission.
Episcopal mission.
Deaconess Hutton was up there, we taught in the back end of a church, and I've been up there already, and I don't see why they didn't preach to death, because it wasn't in the church part of it, it was back in the back part, and the doors didn't fit close together, and guys, you get up there in cold weather, and you...
We were at the Pinnacles Ranger Station last night, we practically froze to death.
Well, it was cold down here last night, they tell me. I was talking to some of the people that were up on the ridge today. Well, in fact, one of the men, a man is contracting up on the mountain for some work, and he's doing, he guarded my kitchen cabinets, and he said everything froze up.
We had 18 degrees.
18 degrees.
Pretty cold.
Well, somebody was telling me that actually on the other side of Harrisonburg, over in there about Moorefield, something like that, that they had around about 12, 14 inches of snow, but I don't know.
Oh,
I don't think so.
Well. But, you know, something that interests me, you always hear, you read a lot of these old books that these people spoke like Elizabethan English, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, do you really think that's true? I mean, after all, the school teachers are going in there. And I just wonder what you think of it.
Well, the mountain people, they kind of had a role of their own, and they had to, they changed from that gradually, the contact from the outside, you might say, the teachers going in there had something to do with, you know, changing their method of speech and their language and everything like that.
Did the teachers live in the schoolhouse, or did they stay
with
the family?
No, they didn't live in the schoolhouse. They generally lived with some, with one of the patrons. We tried to get them, for instance, I think they wound up at Tanner's Ridge, I think. She stayed at Deacon, there was Deacon Sutton.
I want to go up and talk with her too, I thought.
Well, you know, she's up in Pine Grove now.
Pine
she's,
Grove.
I think she's retired, and she was over at the University of Virginia Hospital. She was, I don't know what you would call her, but she administered, she had service over there for the Episcopalians or anybody else that wanted to come here. She's been a wonderful woman and everything like that. And now she's living in a trailer up here right at the foot of the Tanner's Ridge, you might say, or Pine Grove.
I was talking to the gentleman in the newspaper office. I don't.
Lock.
I don't remember his name.
Well, he had his editor and owner.
I guess that's it. He kind of felt like that. And he said that she would be good.
Uh-huh.
And
Deacon and Hutton would have a source of information because she was on the mountain there for a good many years. And when I was a kid, why, up in Pine Grove and places like that, those people were rough and wild and woolly. And there's hardly a week passed by that somebody didn't get cut, shot, or something like that.
I really like that, you see.
Yeah. But now, when Deacon is cutting, you know, they had these missions around. And they had a wonderful influence. And in fact, Deacon is cutting had a wonderful influence.
Was she a local woman, too? Or?
No, she was from away, I think. I don't know. I don't know where she was from. She's the most wonderful.
Well, I'm anxious to meet her. I've heard nothing but good things about her. And
well, she would sit down and be able to talk to you. I don't know how our health is. Excuse me. We've been intending to go up there to see her, but I was fast in first one thing and then the other. I don't know.
Well, I know it's hard to get to do things. That's why when I spoke to your wife last night, I thought, well, I just asked to come tonight because I might never get a new chance.
Well, it looks like, I don't know, people think when they retire, they have plenty of time, but I don't know, I'm connected with the bank of Shenandoah, chairman of the board up there.
Oh my goodness.
And it looks like you have more to do now than you used to.
Well, you know, I have a little boy, 2 years old, and I used to think, now I think, what did I do with myself? You know, all that leisure time I used to have. I never know when you're well off.
Well, what does your husband do in the park now?
Well, he's a professor of geography at McGill University.
Oh, at McGill.
In Montreal.
He's not connected with the park then.
Well, he's a collaborator with the Park Service, and he does some research. Mm-hmm. He was a ranger here years ago. In fact, he used to live in that old cabin, you know, on Panorama, mm-hmm. that they knocked down when they built the new restaurant. It used to be out on the other side. And he was a seasonal naturalist here for about 3 years. Mm-hmm. And now he's doing research. Collaborator, it sounds terrible, you know, like something underhanded. But we'll be here for about another 4 weeks, I guess, and then we're going down to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we want to do pretty much the same thing there. But my husband is interested in the cultural and also the biological, the animals and things. But I'm just strictly interested in the cultural. And we've been coming here on and off since about 1956. So.
Well, how long do you stay when you come?
Well, we used to stay all summer. But now we're only going, well, altogether be here about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll probably end up buying some place here. Every summer we said, we better do it this summer, you know, because we really love it.
Well, you know, let's see, Mr. Wilkins, he's a Baptist preacher, I think, down here around Baltimore, someplace outside of Baltimore. And his son is, ministerial. He has something, the ministerial director or something like that, I don't know, in one of the counties around me. And he was interested in buying my place. He made me promise. He said, he bought a swimming pool up there, you see, or at least so they say that he has anyway. And he's going to develop it. He's aiming to develop it into a place kind of like the Pocono Mountains. You've heard of those up in Pennsylvania. And he said here some time ago he had, it's non-denominational, he's a Baptist, but he said the organization would be non-denominational. They wouldn't cater to anything, one denomination, but it would strictly be non-denominational. And somebody had written him wanting to know if he would be able to take care of 800 people during the summer. Well, of course he can't, I don't know, but he said he was interested in my home up in the country just for the older people. Now, I don't mean those that would direct the youth and everything like that wouldn't be with them all the time. They'd have a place where they could stay at night and everything like that.
This
I told him he wanted to buy the one that I didn't want to sell. Because I like the country myself.
Oh, we do too. We just, you know, we just can't wait till we get out of the city in the wintertime and get down here.
Yeah.
And see, you know, well, it's now, I don't know if it's been 10 years that we've been spending around here, so. Probably won't end up buying
some
money. Oh, I love it.
You can't find a better place.
And whenever anyone gets here in the park service, I know they always hate to leave because it's so nice.
Well, they do, a whole lot of people. And when they were building the drive and everything like that, some of them were transferred to Richmond and you hear them wail and moan and everything like that. It looks like, I don't know what it is around here.
Something special.
Kind of like it, something like that. Are you one of the students?
Yes, I am.
And how many of them do you have, two?
Well, we just had two this summer. Last year there were five, but this year just two. So I think this is the girls are, well, two girls are actually Canadian, so this is their first visit. But one girl, Dane Well, she has a lot of relatives in Virginia. Over, I think it's Norfolk, somewhere around there. But Ellen in Fairfax, I think, too, or anything. So the girls are getting their first taste of this part of the world.
This is the first time I've been this far south. I've been to New York and
Make a southern, yeah.
All the northern states, but I just love it down here. So
well, I wanted to ask a few more things here on this. You know, I went, you read a lot of things too in the books, like I'm reading that book, Howl Folk. Have you read that? They did some study here in 1936 or something. And they say that there were a lot of children that never went to school. Is that really true?
Well, I expect there is. It was. That's been years and years ago, probably.
About 1936, I think, mostly. But they ran into a lot of children that had never gone to school.
Well, they were back in the mountains, right far back in the remote areas and everything like that.
I think they're talking about Nicholson Hollow.
Well, yeah, I don't know where Nicholson Hollow is. Nicholson Hollow is over back of Ida someplace
right.
or another, isn't it or not?
Well, yeah, it's just, we know where the Pinnacles are interstate from this.
Yeah.
Well, right around, between there and Skyland, if you go down on the other side,
mm-hmm.
it'd be right around in there.
Well, you see, that must be in Madison County.
I see that. That's right. The other side's in another county.
The other
that's
side.
Right.
The boundary line is the top of the mountain.
That's right. I always get mixed up. I just think of the mountains.
Father was a civil engineer, too, and he said he's found surveying some of the land up in there. Of course, their meets and bounds were very meager, and land didn't mean anything to them then. It generally ran from the top of one mountain to the top of the other, you know. But he said he had run his experiences up there. He'd run across a couple of trees at Washington and Mark when he was surveying for Fairfax. Yeah. But of course, they're not standing now or anything like that. But when my father was 79, he died, he was in the alive, I guess, for 50 years.
Well, that would be a thrill to see something like that, wouldn't it? Well, I know, you know Ray Shafton, the chief park manager?
Yeah.
He and some people, they found one of the original, said they got it in the Big Meadows Visitor Center now, one of the original stones, you know. I can't remember. Have you seen that up there?
No.
Oh, that's beautiful. It just opened up last week, I think. It's really nice.
Well, you know, it's strange. I don't know. Different things like that are close around your home. Why? People from away see them before you do.
That's always true.
Because you take the cave out to you. I was born right here. I was born right here in the county. Of course, I haven't been in the county very much since then or anything like that for a long time. But I don't know how old I was whenever I went in the cave.
Well, the girls, it's the first thing they said, well, let's see the Lorraine Cavern here. So I
well,
guess
now, through the under the auspices of the cave people, they figured that it's good advertisement. They pick out, I think it was the fifth grade, they started that when I was superintendent. We were furnishing transportation. And we used the school buses to bring them down to the cave. You see, and the cave and cavern owners, they let the kids come.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And those kids see the cave, and they go away and talk
people.
About it, and it is a good way to advertise. And it's, they would send out booklets and everything like that, but they could find out about the different geological foundation, formations and everything like that, stalagmites and stalagmites. I used to couldn't remember which was which.
Well, I don't know myself. I'm not sure. I always think I'll remember, but then I never
do. I'll tell you how you can remember it. How I remember. Stalactites, they come down from the top. They have to stick tight and stay up. You take some little thing like that, and I don't know, it looks like it makes an impression that you don't get it mixed up.
I always wonder why their names are so similar. It's so hard to remember.
Stalagmites and stalactites.
I was wondering, About how long do you think the teachers stayed in general in the mountain schools?
They didn't stay so long.
Just sort of come and go?
Yes, yeah. Unless you would run across somebody that was kind of used to their surroundings and everything like that. We have had a teacher who up in John Hall and some of those places that to go back for 4 or 5 years. But it was because of their background and everything like that. They just liked those people, and they came from that stock of people and everything like that. And they wasn't much to get out and put on frills and different things like that, you see, and have a good time. They tried to teach what they could. Some of them would stay a fairly length of time, but most of them didn't stay so long.
Did you ever get anyone that would like come from a certain hall or something and go get more education and go back and teach?
Well, I don't know whether we have done that or not, but I don't know. Deacon Sutton will tell you this, that off of the top of Tanner's Ridge, I've forgotten what year it was, we had a girl that finished high school. It was the first girl in any of those sections that had ever finished, gone all the way through grammar school and then through high school. She was transported into Stanley.
And what year was that season?
I mean, I couldn't tell you the year. That's been some time ago. I've been out of school like 10 years. And I guess that must have been 10 or 12 years before that. But it was something very unusual because those kids, it seems like they didn't want to go to school. They around about the 5th or 6th grade school that was in their neighborhood, but then they got married or did something else.
How about the subjects in school? What were they generally taught, do you know?
How was that
now? What were the subjects in school?
Well, you would have reading, writing, arithmetic, geography, science, different things like that.
And were the books the same as they used in the valley, in the mountain school?
Oh yeah, the books were the same.
Can you remember any names?
No, I don't remember any of the names especially. I don't know right now. I don't know.
How about the teachers? How much do they usually go, like, to normal school or regular college?
Well, now some of those teachers would come out of colleges, would have their degree and everything like that. And then some of them, you see, they used to issue a certificate, what they called a normal professional, on 2 years of college work. And the collegiate was issued on a 4-year college course, and then the collegiate professional was issued on 4 years of college work with certain work in education, you see, and theory and different methods and things like that. And so our teachers, as a rule in those schools, some of them were just as well prepared as the teachers in the elementary school down in the valley.
Were they generally single women or married?
No, most of the time they were single.
Mm-hmm. And were there any men teachers that went up there? Or?
Yes, there were some men teachers that would teach in places like that.
And let's see. Would they be like a one-room school and then they teach all the grades? Or?
Yeah, one-room school, all the grades.
You don't remember if any of those are standing. Superintendent Hagen said that he thought there were still some buildings standing, the one-room schoolhouses. They've been sold to people who use them for something else, but they were still up there.
Yeah, we sold a lot of them when some of them were one-room schools and some of them two-room schools. And I tell you, a whole lot of those schools were built. The people would, we'd buy the land from them. For instance, I'm talking especially the one after we moved out of the church, our Deacon Sutton was. We moved down this way around about a mile or two, and we bought a lot and built a schoolhouse on it. But those lots were generally sold down there, like there were other places, that when that land ceased to be used as a schoolhouse or used for school purposes, but the land would revert to the person that you bought it from.
Oh,
see?
I see that. So then they could do whatever they want with it.
Yes, and then another thing, they didn't want people coming right in and living right next to them or anything like that. Not that they were so close together, but they just wanted to, they didn't want to give the land up, but they would give it up for a school purpose or something like that. But we had land down in the valley here. There was a two-room school down in Springfield, which is right on this highway between here and Front Royal, that it was specifically stated in the deed that when that land or when the building ceased to be used as a school purpose, it reverted to the original owner. And probably the farm might have changed hands two or three times, but a person having a farm here, they wouldn't want somebody else to come out and pay $500 or $600 and then have a little, a small dwelling right on the corner of their place, you see. And that's the reason that was done.
Well, did the boys generally go longer than the girls up there? The girls only than the boys? They didn't have to stay in school like they do now until they're 16.
Maybe. No, they didn't have any. We started compulsory to school attendance here. I've forgotten what year it was. But we used to have, court here and in Shenandoah and the Stanley almost every week the people were sent to school.
Oh, really? From up in the mountains?
Well, not necessarily up in the mountains, but from down there too.
I guess what would generally happen, would they wind up sending their children to school? Or?
Well, some of them just didn't want to send them and they didn't see the advantage of that the children would have in going to school. And, some of them were just too darn lazy to get up and get them ready and everything. They claimed they didn't have clothes equal to somebody else and different things like that. I don't know. They just had all manners of excuses.
But they made them send them.
Person couldn't pay the fine. Most of the time, that class of people need all the money that they have for the necessities of life. So the judge would generally give them a suspended sentence or something like that. Any way to get them to school.
Do you think that's made a big difference? You know, having to have the children in school like that.
Well, I think that has made some. Yeah, because lots of times sometimes children would want to come to school. And we have some right in Shenandoah, which is one of the towns, one of the small towns in the county, that some of those children came from families where their parents, we used to have shows and different things like that, movies, because a whole lot of those kids never had a chance to see a movie or anything like that. And we would have those movies, and well, if they couldn't pay for it, well, the principal very quietly would tell them to go out and pick up paper on the grounds or something like that, and you all go to show this afternoon. It was done in a way so that they wouldn't feel that they were being given something, you see, and everything like that. And some of those parents didn't want the children even to see a movie or anything like that.
Was this, do you think, from religious principles?
From religious principles, yeah.
They just, what would most of them be that would feel that way? I
don't know. Sacrilegious for them to go to the movies. And it's just wrong, that's all. You know?
I guess some people still feel that way.
Well, I guess some of them do, yeah.
I hope that if we're keeping you beyond some time, you have to go or something.
I don't have anything else to do now but take a bath and get on some clean clothes and eat some supper and go to bed.
Oh, listen, I must be very hungry. I don't want to keep
you. No, I told Ms. Grace, well, I could lose a meal down here and still not mind it a bit in the world.
Well,
I don't know.
We all thought we'd lose so much weight the summer, and now all we seem to be is so hungry walking around, we're eating more.
you all do your own cooking, or do you come into Skylin or someplace?
No, we do our own cooking. Okay. Well, I generally cook, well, I cook dinner, you know, supper, mm-hmm. and then everybody else helps themselves for the other meals. Uh-huh. Otherwise, you have to spend the whole day in the kitchen. You can't cut anything else. So, do you think, how about the parents? Are most of them able to read, do you think? At least like the Bible or something like that?
Well, they might be now, but they used to not be able to read or anything like that. They never saw a newspaper, didn't take a newspaper. They didn't have any access to any libraries or bookmobiles. And they've just grown up that way, and they just are what they say.
So do you think they really were as isolated as some of these old books say, you know?
Well, now, I think some of that is exaggerated and everything like that. You You know, there used to be a lot of publicity in regard to a whole lot of those people. And some of these people, they might have been kind of a social trend where they wanted to elevate those people. They'd come up and see one family that was very low down and everything like that. I mean, their living conditions and everything like that were very poor. And then they'd go back and talk as if the whole county was that way, or the whole section was that way. Well, that was. They had all they wanted to eat, enough clothes to wear, and different things like that. They would grow it. True, they didn't have a varied diet or anything like that. They would land as rich and would grow potatoes and cabbage. They didn't have very many staple groceries or things like that.
But they could get into town occasionally and buy.
Well, they could get into town if they walk. I don't know. That's about the only way that they, some of them could get out from up there.
You know, sometimes when you read some of these old things, like they say they came in and, you know, in 3 weeks they did this study, and I think sometimes I get the impression that they ask people questions and people might have said no when they really, the answer was really yes, just because they didn't know these other people. You know what I mean? Like they said some things that a lot of people never heard of the American flag and things like this. Do you think this is true up there?
Well, it might have been years ago, but I don't think that prevails. So I don't think that prevails now or anything like that. I think they know something about the state. Although they tell a joke about this one old man, he was coming from Madison, I believe, over in Virginia. He was coming over to see some of his kin people, and he got on top of the county, on top of the mountain, which is a dividing line between the two counties. And took off his hat and waved it. He says, "Goodbye, Virginia." He thought he was clear out of the state. He didn't know what he was in the state. So those people, they were good people, good, solid, substantial people. They didn't care much about voting or anything like that. But if they knew you, they'd give you the very best they had.
That's, I've read that in some of the things.
Now, whether it was something to eat or anything like that, why, they would give you the best they had. It might have not been so much or anything like that. And my daddy, when he was going around, he used to ride a sorrel horse around and visit all of those schools. He'd try to see them all once a year. It had around about 120, 116 way back at that time.
What years would those be that he was superintendent?
So fast that I don't know. I'd have to count back on my fingers.
Well, did they keep all those, once they had a school, you know, in operation, did they keep it going all the time, or would they have to like stop it a while and maybe get to get another teacher or something?
Well, most of the time they kept those things going. Sometimes they couldn't get teachers to go back in those secluded places. And a whole lot of times, way back a long time ago, not even at schools up in the mountains, but some of the schools down at the base of the mountains, you might say, they had only had around about a 4 or 5 schools.
Oh, this is, I was interested in this. That would be it for the year. What month would it go?
Well, it would, those months, they generally had the school when it was bad and the kids couldn't get out to work or anything like that, and most of the time it was too bad to go to school.
The kids were happy about that. But how about the day? About what time would the school start in the day when somebody was out in school? Like 9 o'clock in the morning, I think?
Well, they'd start around 8 o'clock in the morning.
And then how late would it go?
4.
Do the children generally like bring their lunch with them, or?
They had it. Because there wasn't any other way to get it or anything like that, and lots of times they didn't have any money to buy it or anything like that, so they would bring what they had to eat.
Can you remember any stories that your father told about the old school? That sounds like a fascinating experience to go around to all the. How did people accept him? Were they friendly to him, all the mountain people?
Oh, yeah. Lots of those places he would stay all night, and he said they would give him the best bed in the house and give him the little food to stay at.
I've always found this to be true. I think it's still true, you know, different friends are so hospitable, you know.
That he woke up many a morning, by golly, and shoved the cover back and shoved the snow along with it.
That's how we felt last night. How about the health of the people up there? Do you think any doctors ever got up there or anything like this?
Well, may not be very informative.
Oh,
or
I think
like
so. I'm satisfied so far. My goodness. How many students or pupils would be in one of these mountain schools generally?
Oh, sometimes they wouldn't have over, sometimes they wouldn't have over 8 or 10.
Do they generally have desks and things in there like they did down
there? They would, but they would have kind of crude desks or sometimes makeshift desks or something like that. They would have some kind of furniture.
How about writing? Would they have pencils or slates? Do they generally have a stove in there, like for the winter?
Like you guys do last night, you didn't have some heat.
Oh, we had wood stove. You remember, throwing it in there all night.
One thing. Those people, they had a crude way of living, but they were pretty comfortable. Probably they went to bed very early. They didn't burn very much kerosene, or they didn't have as much light or anything like that. And they would get up early, and they would go to bed early. Well, it wasn't any use for them to sit up late. And wasn't any use for them to burn the midnight oil or anything like that. They didn't have any magazines to look at, no books to read, and probably some of them couldn't read magazines, couldn't read. A whole lot of the older people couldn't read anything like that, and I expect some of the children. They were just learning.
I guess a lot of the older people never had a chance to go to school.
No, a whole lot of older people didn't have a chance to go. I don't know, I've talked to a few things about them. Some of them say they want the children to go to school. When I was a boy, I didn't have a chance.
You think, after the children would get out of school, they'd sort of get away from books and things like this? Or would they kind of keep the habit of reading?
Getting them reading, you know. Now you have your libraries, you have your bookmobiles, and different things like that. And you could write in and get books and everything like that. But most people, they didn't know anything about that. So they were kind of like my daddy used to say, they all gone to the acorn tree and tried to do woods. He'd eat the acorn, but he didn't have the faintest idea where it came from. If it was there, he ate it. If it wasn't there, he didn't eat it.
Well, that's a very
and
good deal.
Those children were very much the same way, I imagine. If they had some form of picture books or anything like that, I imagine it would have been very interesting for them if they couldn't have read the caption of the pictures or anything like that. They would have looked at the pictures. And I felt that very much. So when they were going into the library, and the teacher noticed he came in there every day. And he kind of aroused her suspicion. So she said, well, I'm going to go back and see where he goes. Why he comes in there and goes to a certain place, takes down a certain book, traces back where he traced down a certain book, and finally came to where he opened the book at a certain page. And she got to question the little boy about it and everything like that. Well, he said, on that page there's a picture in there of a bull chasing a little boy, and I want to see why that bull is called the boy.
Oh,
so they had lots of curiosity. It was just about that type and everything like that, you see.
Well, you know, somebody was telling me that a great, more or less, entertainment and, like, the substitute for the newspaper would be the peddlers that came through. Do you remember
that? Well, now, they didn't get back in the mountains that far. I don't know. We used to, there's some of our merchants in town that have very big stores and really sold them out and everything like that. A whole lot of those people started out as peddlers.
Oh, really?
But they couldn't get back. They couldn't carry the pack back in the mountains over those daggone places. Mm-hmm. They were just on the other side of things, in the country.
I was wondering about that, you know, how far in they would get.
They couldn't get back in the mountains very much because they didn't have any place to stay. And I bet it was people later that they were hooked on the first division or something like that. Just to show you how they were, why. You don't remember back that far either one of them, but the Chevrolet people. good many years ago, it must have been soon after 36 or something like that, I bought a white Chevrolet. And at that time, the cops were using white Chevrolets. And we had a school up in Jolly, and another holler up there. And I went up there, and I was in the schoolhouse out in the White Park. And the schoolhouse had knot holes in. You could see out. Finally, I saw a whole lot of people coming and looking in, you know. And I didn't know whether they were going to mob me before I got out of there or not, you know. But I came to find out that they thought I was a cop up in there driving that white car, you see.
I guess they weren't too anxious to see the police. Was there as much moonshine as everybody always makes jokes about?
Well, there's some places that they moonshine. I don't know. And they moonshine after Prohibition went into effect, because some of those people up in those hollows, they thought they were born with it here and right. If they wanted to take apple, make apple brandy out of it or anything else, why, they didn't think anybody else, the government or anybody else, had any right to come in and say, well, you can't do this.
I think they're right. I think you have different numbers, but yes.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, those are the roots. Did you make this map yourself?
No, we got that from the highway department. Then, of course, I traced those maps
yeah.
on there.
I really think you did a very good job.
Yeah,
it's extremely sterile. So your figures on the attendance rates were very interesting. Well, I just copied down a few of them. I think you said 82% was the average of the attendance in the different schools. And I know she mentioned the one up in Pine Grove. That's the one at the end of Tennessee Grove there.
Yeah.
Well, I try not to keep you too much longer.
All right.
I'm
right.
Just getting tired. Do you know any of the old teachers that were teaching up in the Mountain School? Anyone that might,
well,
might be able to
Mr.
talk
Ed Peterbush at Stanley. I think he's he's still living.
Ed Peterbush. Would anybody in Stanley know him?
Yeah, most everybody would. I don't know, except the real young ones. I don't know. He walked from I don't know. He used to walk from home up to to Pine Grove. I know he went up there. Now I don't know. He might have. I don't know. I don't know. Tanner's Ridge would have been too far.
From Stanley,
yeah.
That was quite a
long. And he lived probably. Oh, 3/4 of a mile the other side.
Because that's about 7 miles, isn't it, back from Tennessee?
Something like that, yeah.
I remember once some people told me, lived up there, that they used to walk into Stanley once in a while to get some things from the store.
Okay. Well, I tell you, way back at that time, that's about the only way that they had to get out. And generally, you'd see the man and his wife, and then the children would trail along behind.
How many times a year do you think they would go in during the interview?
Well, it just depends. I don't know whether they had money enough to get what they wanted or anything, how dire their need was and everything like that.
I guess they had to go in there to pay taxes, didn't they?
They
were lucky.
Yeah, a whole lot of the mountains, a whole lot of places up there in the mountains, those people, even when the Skyland Drive, when the park came along, those people had been living on that land so long, you see, that some of them might have had squatters' titles or rights to that. I don't know.
They generally never filed a deed or anything.
Don't you know?
But did anyone, you know, from the valley ever bother to go up if they owned it or anything like that?
Well, yeah. Now, the only way that they had any connection at all there was that these people down in the valley, they would have, these farmers would have cattle, mm-hmm. and they would take they used to take their cattle up on the mountain in the summertime and graze them. And these people would take the salt and saw them. Sometimes they would, but there wasn't so much dependence on them. These people had to go up and see that was done and everything like that. And they lived on these little old mountain places that those farmers had up there that were part of their tract of land.
And the farmers in the valley, wasn't it, though?
Yeah, the farmers in the valley.
How far do you think most of the students would have to come to the school, you know, on an average? So they have to walk, I guess.
Well, you mean way back when they went to their mountain school?
Yes,
and everything?
When they went to the mountain.
Oh, they'd have, they were very sparsely settled up there, and they'd have a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, something like that, those living closer to the school. You see, that one picture that you have there, the school at Hoover had a camp over on the Rapidan.
Yes.
You know? And I think, I don't know whether it was through him or who it was, that got interested in some of those mountain people up there. And they're the ones that furnished funds to build that school. Ordinarily, the mountain schools didn't look that good. It wasn't painted. Well, I tell you what, we had a little school right up here at the foot of the mountain known as Forest Dale. And I don't know, it had been built, I don't know how long. And it never had a coat of paint or anything like that. I didn't help paint it, but I was assuming that the school went with paint, first coat of paint they ever had. And I guess it's built there for I don't know.
Well, I noticed that really didn't look like any of the other pictures I had seen.
No. In there are most of the pictures of the schools that were in existence when I came in. Pine Grove School is in there, Rattleburg, and all of those schools like that.
I guess I wouldn't be able to find any of those now that
I don't know whether Springfield School has been torn down or not. I don't know. And I think someone is living in this Forest Dale School.
Where would that be?
When you go up on the drive, when you go to Stanley, going up the Gordonsville New Market Turnpike, that is the one that I told you that my grandfather was instrumental in building. And my daddy has told me that he would ride horseback behind his father. And they'd pick out every rock that was in the road from the foot of the mountain to the top. But then that road had gotten in an awful bad state of repair. Then, of course, when the park came over and everything like that, it was all fixed up. And then, like all roads had been improved.
Oh, my goodness. Even just since I started this interstate program, that has been a big change in the country.
Yes, it certainly has, yeah.
Let's see. How about the children's clothes? I guess most of them are probably barefoot up there.
Well, they went barefoot most of the time. You know, they got so snow, it was so cold that they couldn't go out in the weather. And I don't know, I expect a whole lot of them went out in the snow barefoot.
Oh, boy. But do you think the people, I was wondering, like we were talking before about the doctors, I guess, were there any doctors who ever made it a practice of going up there, you know, like to kind of just once in a while look after the health and not be?
No, not that I know.
Did they ever come down to the valley to go to a doctor?
Well, I imagine that was very infrequently done. It wasn't a custom or anything like that.
How about, were there school nurses or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't think about a school nurse or any other kind of And most of the time, when the children were born, I don't know, they had some lady that, some woman that lived probably in the neighborhood or near, probably 2 or 3 miles away. She came in and served a case of a doctor and maternity cases and everything like that. Most of those children, most of those people, I guess. Of course, there's not many people living in the park area now, you see,
yeah,
because they have moved out. They moved around, they moved a whole lot of them around here in the Ida Valley homesteads, you see.
That's right. I read something that said about 2,500 people, wasn't it, they moved out?
Well, I guess they did a whole lot of them, yeah.
Maybe I could go over there. Would you know anyone over there that might be able to talk to about this?
No, because those people, they are not the older people. They are probably the children of the younger, of the other people, you see. Because all of the old people, they're dead.
And I guess the young ones probably haven't kept up with.
Yeah, and the younger ones, they've gotten away, and they don't know much about it.
Can you think of any of the other people who were teachers up there?
We had one lady from over in Madison that taught around up in there. I've forgotten her name, but Mr. Ed Peter Fish and Mr. Wren Taylor, now, he is dead now. He taught up there at Forestdale School. I don't know how long he did teach there. And that wasn't over, it wasn't a third of a mile or a quarter of a mile from his house, from where he lived.
Oh, he was a local person?
Yeah, he was a local person. Sometimes you ran across a person like that, and they just taught because they had a job and they got more money out of it than they would in doing anything else. And then they would have a garden and other different things, and they'd have a couple of hogs and pigs, and they'd probably keep a cow and everything like that.
But they'd generally be a farmer too, is that?
There might be something like that, yes.
Was he a farmer?
Well, I wouldn't classify him as hardly as a farmer, but he had a place where he could keep a cow. I don't think he had a horse. Later on, before Red died, I think he did get an automobile, Ford or something like that, one of the old model Fords. And it was very close to the schoolhouse. And he lived there, and he would probably make his living in the summertime out of his garden and out of a couple pigs and out of his cow and different things like that. And then with the money that he got teaching school, why, he made a very good living. And both of his girls, he had two girls now, I think one of them went out and she finished over at Madison College, I think. And she went out and taught in some Indian reservation out in the West,
Well, it's rather unusual that a man with education like that would stay up in the mountains, isn't that kind of unusual?
Well, Mr. Taylor, I always call him Wren because he taught school when my daddy was superintendent. And always spoke of him as Rand Taylor. They didn't have so much ambition or anything like that. They wanted to live, and that was about all. And he made a very good living and everything. He had clothes to wear, shoes to wear, clothes to wear, and he had something to eat. He took care of his wife, and I think he had two daughters, too. And if I'm not mistaken, both of them finished up. I don't know, both of them did or not. No, he had one boy. And but I know one of the girls finished school over at Madison, and she somewhere or another, I don't know if she got tied up with some Indian reservation up through the West. I don't know exactly what state it was or anything like that.
That's pretty unusual.
Yes, it is. But Wren himself, a whole lot of those people, as I said a minute ago, they wasn't very ambitious, and they were willing to stay there and live because they made a very good living. They made a good living. They had plenty of eat, plenty of food to eat and everything like that. Plenty of money to buy clothes and everything. At that time, the school teachers were not making over around about $75 a month, something like that.
$75.
But see, he had no house rent to pay.
I guess that was really pretty good.
And, he did very good with that and everything. Then with the things that he raised out of his garden, his potatoes, and probably had a few apple trees around different places. See, he'd raise a couple of pigs and everything. So they live very nicely.
You know, I was wondering about the ministers that came to the different missions. Were they usually local men, or would they be from someplace else?
No, they generally came from away. Like, I think Deaconess Hutton was from away, she would tell you. And then several people, the preachers didn't live up there, but several of the preachers, Dr. Mason, I don't know who's head of the, diocese or something like that in this section. I think he was from down around Richmond. He used to live in Charlottesville.
Oh. Yeah. You think they were pretty influential up in that region?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they were, yeah. Those people, they did a whole lot for those mountain folks. They had different organizations that would send them clothes and everything like that. And so far as I'm not familiar with very many of them, but the Episcopalians up there would get these clothes and things like that, and they would give them out to needy where they were most needed and everything like that. And they did an awful lot of work along that line.
Well, I know Council of the Southern Mountains, which is a religious group, they still do a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Really. I have this list here of different things I wanted to make sure I asked you, so
all right.
I'll go looking through. I know I'm going to hate myself when I get home because I'll think of a million other things to say.
Well, you come back.
I hope I can.
If you can't find me down here, you will up in the country. Come back up there and I'll put you to work.
Oh, I'd be glad to. Well, you're just right over on by Stanley there, is it?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What road would that be on?
Well, that's the one that goes up, they used to call it the old Red Gate Road.
Oh, I know where that is, yeah.
Well, you know where Beam Store is? When you pass Stanley, if you're familiar with the road, you're in Stanley. Mm-hmm. So you're in Stanley. Well, you come on out, and instead of coming to town, there's a big good sized filling station right there in the forks of the road.
Yeah.
But if you leave that to the right, you come on to town, you see.
Yeah.
But if you turn to the right, leave the filling station to the left, and then keep that main road, after a while you come out about a mile, and you cross the Hawksbill Creek, the concrete bridge across it. One of those roads goes up to Pine Grove. That's where Deacon is hiding. Mm-hmm. The other, you cross the bridge and come on up, and I live on the first house, or live in the first house on the right hand side.
Well, I hope that I might be able to visit you again, because
well,
I know it seems as though I've mostly covered everything I have written down here, but I know that when I get back, I'm going to think of more things to say.
Well,
to
I'm
ask
afraid
you.
I haven't been very much helpful.
Oh, my goodness, you certainly
like
have
that.
Been. I was sort of beginning to despair. I thought, I'm never going to get any information on this, you know. And, it's really been wonderful. I've gotten a lot of useful things, and I think I'd like to go talk to Deacon and Putnam and then this gentleman over in Stanley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can find Mr. Ed Peterfish out there. Be registrar, and he took that job seriously. You know, my God, he would ask you a question. I know I came from here, from West Virginia, here, and you have to register, you see, and to vote. Then, or he would go through that just as methodically, you know, just as if he were performing a great service. Well, I guess he was.
Well,
I don't know what he thought he was, but he made it just as solemn as he possibly could. So,
well, it's kind of nice to have somebody take it that way. Now you just walk in the candy cellar and fill it out, and that's it. But can you think of anything that you wanted to say?
Now you can vote whether you can read or write or anything
that's
like
true.
That. Really, I don't know. I really think people ought to have a certain amount of intelligence to vote themselves. Now, that's the way that I feel about it.
Well, I think so, too. And, of course, now they're talking about making it so that you don't even have to be able to read English, you know. You can read some other language as well. I'm not so sure about this because, I mean, English is the official language of our country,
yeah.
And I don't know whether you can really know what's going on or not if you can't read it.
You can't.
So I don't know.
And I think you ought to know something instead of, you wouldn't classify the most ignorant man out here on your par with you.
Well, I think a responsible citizen has to take a certain interest in the government and know something,
yeah,
what it's about,
so,
and
yeah.
Otherwise it's just like going in and...
Well, there's a whole lot of those people, they don't give a kitty or anything like that.
Well, I always think it's your duty to know, you know, who the different people are and how to vote and this. I mean, this is if you have bad government, you only have yourself to blame for it, because you're supposed to know enough about it. But some people just go in and they push any button they see and don't know what they're doing or anything.
No,
so.
And
that's how we get so much bad government, I think.
I really don't know. Sometimes I get very much alarmed myself. I don't affect us older ones, but the younger ones come to know, and it is what it is.
Well, sometimes you feel, too, that now that government's getting so big, no matter what you do, it doesn't make any difference. You can't have any effect on them anymore.
Well, everybody feels like that, you can't. But if everybody felt the other way, well, then they could.
That's, I guess you're right. I still think that right to my congressman, that's how it's not effect.
But you know, there's a whole lot of people today, they don't know who the congressman is. They wouldn't know who to write to. They'd have to ask somebody else.
Well, I know, I sometimes, like, my mother would be great when she always calls up the congressman's office. she doesn't take any runaround. She says, never mind, I'm paying my tax, I want to talk to him. And nine times out of ten, she finally winds up talking to him. But, listen, we don't want to keep you any longer. I think.
But the trouble with our government today is, I think, that we have it is made up.